हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूधरे श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यदा संचरते छायं यदा संहरते छायं कूर्मांगानिव सर्वशं इंद्रियाणि इंद्रियार्थेभ्यो तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठिताः. कृष्ण सेज़ टू अर्जुन व्हाट इज नोन एज कूर्मयोगम. कूर्मयोगम मीन्स एज वी सीन बिफोर दैट हाउ टू विड्रॉ द सेंसेस फ्रॉम सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स एंड डायरेक्ट इट इनवर्ड्स. सो एज वी मेंशन बिफोर इन ऑर्डर टू स्टार्ट दिस प्रोसेस of internal realizations, or in other words, to shift the attention from the material world and the body inwards towards the soul, Krishna says the first thing one has to do is to close this connection with the senses and the sense objects. So, from the Krishna consciousness point of view, the senses are always demanding more, it wants to enjoy, isn't it? The senses, when they are, the connection with senses and sense objects is always very, very strong. So the one way it can be done is by engaging the senses in such a way they do not get attracted to the sense objects. For example, Indriyan Indriyarthebhya Tasya Pratnya Pratishtida. Krishna is saying that Indriyam and Indriyartham. Indriyartham is the sense objects. Indriyam is the senses. And one who has brought the senses away from the sense objects, tasya pratnya pratishtida. His pratnya is pratishtida. It is steady. He is not anymore disturbed by the what goes on in the world outside. All it's, you can see that also in the Bhagavadam, in another instance, Krishna says there that this is while talking to Uddhava. To Arjuna, he says, Indriyan Indriyarthebhya Tasya Pratnya Pratishtida. To Uddhava, Krishna is saying that Vishayendriya Sambhogav Manachubhiri Nanyada. Vishayendriya Samyogal Manachubhiri Nanyada. In other words, Vishayam and Indriyam, senses and sense objects, unless they come into contact, the mind will not get disturbed. So every time, whenever, if our mind is feeling disturbed, we have to think, understand that some of our senses are in contact with the sense objects. Vishaya Indriya Samyogal, Vishayam and Indriyam, due to their contact with each other, Manachubhiri, mind will become, mind will start moving, Chopam will develop inside. Manachubhiri, not otherwise, Krishna says. Manachubhiri nanyada. Once in an ashram, there was one sannyasi living there. And this sannyasi, there was one dog also in that ashram. This dog had some very peculiar nature. His nature was such that a lot of people used to come in the morning and there used to be satsangam in the ashram. And when the satsangam is going on, the dog will come and sit there in front of the sannyasi. And they used to put one saffron cloth, some old saffron cloth from the sannyasi's clothes. He used to put it there and the dog used to lie on that. So sometimes people will very attentively hearing what's being discussed or engage in some meditation or something like that going on there in the ashram. At that time, the dog also will sit there and close its eyes. It won't create any noise. It will quietly sit there. Everyone was used to that dog. So once it so happened, another dog came there. And he started barking from outside. When he started barking, this dog immediately the natural response is in it from the dog. He also got up and started barking. So it disturbed everyone's attention, everyone who was in attending or attentively hearing or in meditation, whatever they were doing, they lost their attention and they started looking at the dog. So the sannyasi told the dog, sit down there and close your eyes, he said to the dog. The dog sat there and closed the eyes. So there was no more connection with the dog outside. Although it was barking, this dog has closed its eyes and sat there because of the instructions from the sannyasi. So the sannyasi told those people who are present there that you are now lost your concentration because you could not hear anymore what is being discussed. His instruction was that if you only see your form in a mirror, just like we look in a mirror, we see our form. Only when you see your form, that the form is manifesting in front of us, isn't it? Only when you see the form manifests in front of us. But if you don't look into the mirror, the form doesn't manifest. The form doesn't manifest. So, unless there is the sense has a possibility of making a contact with the object, the senses cannot function. Only in the presence of sense objects, the senses will act. In the absence of sense objects, senses cannot act. This we must remember always, that in the presence of the senses only, sense objects only, senses can act. In the absence of sense objects, senses cannot act. Because senses are left with nothing. Only senses becomes active when the sense objects are there. And when the senses are in contact with the sense objects, the mind finds its way. Actually, it is not the senses that goes to sense objects. It's the mind that's going through the sense object. This is the reason why Krishna is saying that kurmanganiva sarvasha, bring all the senses inward so that they don't get a chance to contact the sense objects. If we pull the senses back, they won't contact the sense objects and therefore the mind will not be disturbed. This is Krishna's point. Indriyani yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha. Indriyani indriyarthebhya tasya prajna pradishthira. So one who has learned this technique, what he does is, he does not give an opportunity for the senses to come into contact with the sense objects. As soon as he knows there is danger, as soon as he senses there is sense objects which will disturb his senses, he moves away from the sense objects. That is the point Krishna is making there. So, as I mentioned before, that when our thoughts inside, the thought waves or the mind, whatever we call that, if it is flowing outwardly through the senses to the sense objects or engaged in the thoughts of all the different sense objects, it is called mind. When it goes inwardly and the thoughts do not wander around looking for sense objects and sense enjoyment, it is called a chit. That is chit potency. And when it touches, when the going inward looking becomes a habit, and it is in contact with the soul, that what will happen is it will go and dissolve. This thoughts process, the thoughts that's going out, will go inwards and it will finish up at one point. It cannot go further. And that is the point where it is called bodham, the consciousness. Consciousness is that place where the thought waves which are inside, which goes outside normally in the form of mind, goes back and goes inwards towards the soul and dissolves there, and when it dissolves, it's known as consciousness, bodham. Bodham, it is referred to. So, almost all the self-realized soul, they have done that. They have done that. They also call it as pratik-pravahini drishti, that their vision is different than ours. As I mentioned yesterday, that although their eyes are open, the ears are listening, and so many things happening, the mind is not there. Therefore, it doesn't have any impact on them. It doesn't have any impact on them. There was a sannyasi by name Chandrasekhar Bharati. He had he was in charge of a mutt, and very engaged, all the time engaged in the matters related to the soul. He absorbed in that so strongly that he could not move away from the self any time. That's how strong he was. That there was no time he was freed from the thoughts of the soul, completely absorbed in the thoughts of the soul. So once it so happened that he was traveling and he came to his town called Mathura, where there is a Meenakshi temple now. And Meenakshi temple, in that area he was staying there for some time. They used to walk around all over. And in their Padayatra, he came to Mathura, and he was staying in Mathura that time. Nothing disturbed him any time. He was so fixed up in his spiritual consciousness all the time. So one person by name Sharma, he writes this in his own book about this incident, what happened to him. Sharma, although he had a birth in a good family and good opportunity to develop spiritually, he did not take advantage of it. He got educated in the, it was an American college in Mathura, those days. This was the time when the British ruled India. And he got educated there, and he also had a understanding that he did not take these Vedic literature very seriously, Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Somehow or the other, he got influenced by the modern way of thinking, and in that process, he rejected all the Vedic literature. So he also used to dress up in a suit and tie and all that, and he used to go to work. So one of his friends one day told him that this particular sannyasi is in the town. Shall we go and see him? So Sharma says to him, I have no interest in any of these sannyasis. I have no respect for them. Like this his reaction was. But somehow or the other, the friend insisted that he should come and go and see him. Sharma had no interest in the Vedic literature. Sharma had no faith in the sannyasis. And Sharma also was very much absorbed in the development of science and technology and things like that. His mind was more absorbed in that way. So when his friend took him to see Chandrasekhara Bharati, that particular morning, Chandrasekhara Bharati was coming back after bathing in the Vaigai River. Normally, sannyasis won't bathe at home. They'll go to the river, closest to river, or the lake, temple lake, somewhere like that. They'll go and bathe in those places. So after bathing, he was walking back to his place where he was staying. So Sharma writes there that as soon as I saw him and he looked at me, as soon as he looked at me, all my atheist feelings had left me. I completely lost. He didn't speak to me one word. Just once he looked at me, that was sufficient. I have completely finished. All my strength was gone. He says, Sharma writes about him later that he became a very serious student of this philosophy, Vedanta philosophy later, and he studied a lot and wrote a lot of books since then. So this is known as Pratik Pravahini Drishti. This Pratik Pravahini Drishti means that the soul looking outwardly sometimes, Pratik Pravahini Drishti, their vision, why their vision is so important, is so powerful, the reason is this. We speak things, isn't it? We speak. Prior to speaking, there is a thought behind it, isn't it? The thought turns into words. Through the lips it comes out. Now, thoughts are much more powerful than the words that comes out. Although we think a lot of things, only few things will come out in the form of words from the mouth. So you can say that the thoughts are more powerful than the words itself that comes out from the mouth. Behind these thoughts, there is what is known as the nischalada. There is a peacefulness inside when these thoughts develop. And how did that peacefulness come? Because there was a lot of mananam. Contemplation has happened inside. It's a result of that mind has become very subdued and peaceful, due to the serious thoughts, the serious contemplation that has happened inside. So when the serious contemplation has happened inside, you can say that the mananam process, what has happened inside, is much more powerful than the thoughts that has come out from that. The mind, mananam, is more powerful. The contemplation, what you do, is much more powerful than what is developed in the form of thoughts later. And thoughts are more powerful than the words that has come out from the mouth. So inside, what is happening is, this is, I'm talking about those who have advanced in the spiritual path, particularly those who have developed this inward-looking nature. So when they are in the mananam stage, in the contemplation stage, therefore, the power of that mananam is happening because they themselves have a lot of experience before that. Because in order that the mananam to happen, contemplation to happen, behind that there is an anubhavam. Anubhavam means an experience of things. Experience means that has happened to them from the previous lifetimes and this lifetime. What they have developed, and that will be staying inside. You call them as vasanas, but it's a sort of experience inside. It is from the experience that mananam has started. And from the mananam has come out these thoughts. From mananam, there is that peaceful situation. From there, the thoughts have happened. And it is that thoughts that has come out in the form of words later. So powerful than the words are the thoughts. Powerful than the thought is that peacefulness inside. Powerful than the peacefulness inside is that contemplation that has happened. And powerful than the contemplation is that experiences what they had. So these experiences, what they have brought with them from previous lives in their past spiritual practices, and even in this lifetime, it becomes very strong. It becomes very strong in a person. That is very strong. What will happen to that person is, he will stay in that position and he will not come down to the, he will not speak very much. He will stay in that peaceful state very much. What they known as the experience stage, anubhavam, what they call it. And when they are situated and looks at someone, that is known as pratyak pravahini drishti. Their vision at something when they see from their experiences inside. They are situated in that experiences, and from there they are looking at somebody. When they look at it from that position, it will have a substantial effect on the person who is seeing that. They don't have to speak anything. Because without speaking, the effect is there. Just by their looking at a person. Pratyak pravahini drishti. It's called like that. That the drishti or their vision that is coming from pratyagalma, from the soul inside, that is flowing, that drishti. So this is what happened to that Sharma in this case, that he experienced something which he has, without speaking one word, he changed himself. Changed. Why? Because of the vision that was coming from the sannyasi, Chandrasekhara Bharati. So these things are there to tell us that if the prajna becomes strong, if you can see this in the Trimurti, Lord Shiva's discussions with the Kumaras, when the Kumaras went to see Lord Shiva, there was no discussion at all. There was no speaking. No words were involved in that. Maunavyakha prakatitam. That through silence, simply through silence the message was transmitted. Many self-realized souls were like that. They didn't have to speak anything. Because of the internal strength or internal realizations, they have become powerful. Pratyak pravahini drishti. That power cannot be understood easily, because it can only be experienced by people who have felt that, or who have experienced that. They will tell you about that, the how powerful the vision is. So in one place it says that his silence is more eloquent and potent than his speech. Sometimes such people, when they speak, you won't feel it, but their silence is more powerful. Just being in their presence, through their silence they transmit the message what they want to tell us. Maunam, mauna ghanamrutabdhi. Mauna Ghanamradabdi. That's how they call it. Maunam, from that silence, the powerful nectar that flows out from inside. So, Krishna is saying that Sthidapragna. Sthidapragna is in that state. That those who have come to that state of Mauna Anubhavam, through that silence and through their contemplation, they have acquired that strength. So they have no possibility of anymore being driven by the senses. So it says here, they have learned how to control the senses and bring the senses to such a perfection, that no such a strong sense control, that it will not disturb their mind anymore. This is what is Kurma Yogam is. So Kurma Yogam is the first step in this practice. And in this process of Sthidapragnatvam, Krishna is saying there, in the process of Sthidapragnatvam, Kurma Yogam is the first step. That means to shut down the senses. Without shutting the senses down, it's not possible. So those who are serious about spiritual life, they take this very seriously. Kurmang yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha indriyani indriyarthebhyo tasya prajna pradishtida. So that is that verse Krishna is saying there. Tam yoga idimahyekto stiradam indriya dharanam apramatta sada bhavadi yogo hi prabhavapyahau. Upanishads, the same statement comes in a different way. Tam yogam idimahyando stitaram indriya dharanam apramatta sadha bhavadi yogo hi prabhavapyahau. Upanishads are saying that when the senses are not moving anymore and they are steady, standing in one place, we call it as yoga. Call it as yoga system. The normal Atma Vijaram means who has managed to, everyone is at different levels, isn't it, in spiritual life. Some people are more inward looking, some people are less inward looking. And it is difficult to say who is in what stage it is. It depends on an individual's individual strength or individual's seriousness in spiritual life. Seriousness in spiritual life. Those who are more serious, you will see they are more internal, more absorbed in the matters related to the soul. So, due to cultivating this spiritual knowledge, even if our consciousness gets a little purified, even if we become a bit pure in our prajna or consciousness, that even if he is in a madhyamadhyari stage, we have three states, isn't it? Uttamadhyari, madhyamadhyari, kanishtadhyari. That is in the devotee's level, it is there. It is in the jnani's level also, it is there. These three states, madhyamam, uttamam, madhyamam, kanishtam. Kanishtam is the one who is just a beginner, who hasn't developed any understanding properly, but he is just doing out of instructions from the higher authorities. That's kanishtadhyari. Madhyamadhyari, in the devotional level, bhakti stage, he has advanced enough that he can discriminate between who is a devotee and who is not a devotee. Or in other words, he can talk to others, he has faith in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, he still sees faults in others. He hasn't been able to completely come out of that. Uttamadhyari is in that stage where one has reached a level where he sees everywhere nothing but Krishna. Krishna's presence in everything. He does not find any fault in anyone. So that is three different levels in the devotional aspect. From the knowledge aspect, jnani aspect also, similarly, Kanishtadhyari, he hasn't got any realizations yet. He has just started his spiritual life. Madhyamadhyari is that person who has little realizations, that he has understood that this has to be done and he has understood the importance of it. In other words, he is conscious of the importance of spiritual life and he is endeavoring very hard. But due to previous vasanas, he has not been able to completely shut the senses down. He has not been able to shut the senses down. So therefore, senses may disturb him sometime, but because he is strong in his determination to realize the truth, and he is serious after realizing the self, he is always focused inwardly. So he has conducted a little bit of self-analysis or atmavijaram. Atmavijaram means self-analysis, analysis of the soul. He has conducted a little bit, but not a very high degree. Even such a person, Krishna says, that even he will, if his determination is strong, in course of time, Krishna says, he will also get realizations. He will also get self-realized at the end. That even one does not have, even he may not have complete control on the senses. And also, he has not succeeded in doing that. But if he has got, if that person has, very intense desire for realizing the truth, then what will Krishna says there, then he will eventually find the truth. He will eventually find the truth. The point Krishna is making here is that the yada samharade chayam kurmanganiva sarvasha, that in one stroke you won't be able to get all the senses under control. It is not possible because senses are like that. At any moment they will take your attention away to the sense objects. So Krishna is saying that even if it is like that, if that person's determination is strong, if he is very determined to realize the truth, if he has got that jinyasa or inquisitiveness to know the truth strongly, then eventually you will see that if he keeps on exploring, he will find out his real identity. In other words, his self-realization will happen to him. These things has to be thought through very much. We haven't taken seriously spiritual life to the point that there is a soul inside. It requires attention. And attention has to come from us. We have to take that the attention, we have to take it towards the soul. Although we may accept so many things in the world outside, ultimately Shastram is telling us that the only thing that matters is that soul, nothing else. Only thing that matters is only the soul, nothing else. Everything else doesn't matter because they all come and they all go. They have no permanent reality. That's why Krishna is saying like this, that very carefully we have to give the importance to the soul to what it deserves. What it deserves. If the person has come to get convinced that soul is my true identity, Krishna is saying that all the attention, all our Shraddha should be in that direction, not towards the body and the world outside. Not towards the body or the world outside. The body and the world, they are temporary manifestations. Soul is our original, true, truthful identity. That's what we are. And that's where everything has started from. We were that's something which you cannot any time negate. You can't deny it. That's our proper identity. All the time, we are conscious of ourselves, isn't it? I may not be conscious of all of you, but I'm conscious of myself all the time. There's no time I can say I'm not conscious of me. So my consciousness, which is coming from the presence of that soul inside, is the only reality as far as I'm concerned. You see, only reality as far as I'm concerned, because that's the only thing that exists all the time. Under Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all these states, what exists is that me, I am. That's the only thing that's existing. So, denying that and giving our attention to all other things is ignorance. It is not a good intelligence. In other words, that is the only thing that I know will remain forever. That's something permanent. Something which is permanent is that thing. That my existence as I am. Consciousness. Ahamasmi. Ahamasmi, they call it. And that Ahamasmi, I have ignored it and attention is given to everything else. Krishna is saying there that the that if you have started this analysis, what I am, little bit, it will save you from a big, great danger. That's why in the Bhagavadam, it says there, in Bhagavad Gita also, Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. This is what that means. This is the actual meaning of that statement. Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. You must have heard this. It's in the Bhagavad Gita also as well as in the Bhagavadam. That solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. Even a little bit of this recognition that I am the soul inside and that is what I should be more concerned about rather than anything else in this world. At the moment, that is our last priority, isn't it? Our first priority is the body. Another priority is the world outside, how we deal with. And this is the last priority. Krishna is saying, when this becomes the first priority, even to some extent, solpam apyasya dharmasya. This is that dharmam, the dharmam of the soul. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. If that happens, Krishna says, even the greatest danger, even the greatest danger, you can get over that in all circumstances, all times. Nothing can disturb you anymore. Because that seriousness is not there in us, every time we get disturbed over things in this world, what happens in this world? Because everything else in this world is transitory. It comes and goes. It is not permanent. This is the permanent thing that is inside. That's why Krishna is stressing on that point, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayad. The greatest fear will go away from that. Complete experience of that before we leave this body, if our senses have come under control and if we have got complete clarity of the truth of the presence of the soul inside, our blissful nature will also be perfect. There are many, many examples for that. As I mentioned, this Chandrasekhara Bharati's case was well known. He was in charge of a mutt, but he had no interest in the administration. You know, sannyasis sometimes, there are different types. Some sannyasis are responsible for some mutts. Some sannyasis are just freely travels around. They don't have any administrative responsibility anywhere. But some others have got, they establish mutts and they take responsibility for the administration. So somehow or the other, Chandrasekhara Bharati happened to be responsible for administration of mutt. So when he was in that administration, he had no interest in the day-to-day management of the mutt. That was done by the administrator. There was an administrator and there were other people who were assisting him, the office and the setup. He left everything to the administrator and he completely withdrew from the administration. He was more concerned about his own spiritual position, spiritual development, because he knew very well that if he is spiritually strong and he has could be of greater help to people, rather than being getting involved in the administration. So, in that process, what used to happen was that many, many people used to come and get him, pull him into different kinds of issues, problems. So, he used to carefully avoid them because he did not want to. He had no interest in their day-to-day problems. That was not of importance to him. His point was that Shastram is giving us certain guidance and help. If you take advantage of that, all your other problems will be resolved. They will not come and disturb you. You are not taking to that and you are bringing all these problems to me. What am I supposed to do? Even the administrator himself will come to him with various issues. And as soon as administrator says something, he will recite one verse. That is how he used to reply. Everything through verses. And he used to make a lot. He was very competent in Sanskrit, and also very highly knowledgeable and realized inside. Not only knowledgeable in Shastram, but highly realized inside. Nothing was disturbing him. So he used to recite some verses and send the administrator away. Administrator used to find it very difficult. He was the head of the mutt. So administrator thought he should discuss every matters related to administration with him. And so he used to come for that. But this is the response he used to get from the sannyasis, Chandrasekhar Bharathi. So eventually, a lot of people who were involved in the administration, they started complaining about it to him. So they said to the administrator also, complained to him that when you are not showing any attention, how can we do the administration? So immediately he recited one verse to him, answer to that. So under no circumstances he will show any interest in the matters. But as far as self-realization is concerned, always in the realized state he used to act. And people used to find that very interesting, because they realized that this sannyasi has already left this world. His mind was not interested in the affairs of this world. So what happens when the attention moves away from the body and the world inwardly to a very large degree? The interest automatically in the world goes away. He lived a very long time, and eventually he left his body on his own accord. And there's a lot of things that are connected with him in the history. What he says that how he stayed in that consciousness throughout his life. So Krishna is also saying that the one who has reached that Siddhapratnya state, these are all examples of Siddhapratnyatum, what we were discussing yesterday. Siddhapratnya Sigha Bhasha, Arjuna asked that question, isn't it? Arjuna had this question to ask Krishna, Siddhapratnya Sigha Bhasha. Why did Arjuna ask that question in the Bhagavad Gita? You should know that also. Because when Krishna discussed this Siddhapratnyatvam, that the Krishna has spoken to Arjuna before about the qualities of the soul. Do you remember? In the earlier part of the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, Krishna spoke about the soul in depth, isn't it? Spoke about the soul in depth. And there he said, Ashcharyaval pashyati kashchidenam, Ashcharyaval vatati tathaiva chanya, Ashcharyaval chainam anyashrunodi shrutvapyenam vedanaschaiva kashchal. When this verse was spoken, when Krishna spoke this verse, that Arjuna understood that this is something beyond explanation, this thing called soul. That's why as the last word, Krishna spoke this verse on the soul. Initially, Krishna said about the soul few things, isn't it? It cannot be the nature of the soul. Then as a final statement on the soul, Krishna made this verse, statement, which is, Ashcharyaval pashyati kashchidenam. Do you remember this verse we discussed before? Ashcharyaval pashyati kashchidenam. Everyone who sees the soul says that it is amazing. Soul is amazing. Ashcharyaval vadati tathaiva chanyaha. Others are saying that the soul is an amazing thing. Those who have seen the activities of the soul, they are saying it's amazing. And others are saying that the soul is an amazing thing. Ashcharyaval chainam anya shrunoti. That those who heard about the soul, they are also saying it's an amazing thing. Shrutva penam vedanas chaiva kaschal. Although they have also heard about it, they have heard from authorities and they have thought about this, and every one of them admit one thing, Shrutva penam vedanas chaiva kaschal, that it is an amazing thing. They all say it's an amazing thing. Arjuna heard these words from Krishna's, isn't it? So Krishna mentioned about the soul like this as a last statement. At the same time, in the Upanishads also you will see, when Nachiketas went to Yama, Yama also said the same thing. Shravanayabhi bahubir nona labhyaha, shrunundobhi bahavo yamna vidyo, ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha, ashcharya yada kushalanu shushtaha. Ashcharya Jnana Kushalanu Shishtaha. This is from the Kathopanishad. Najigedas went to Yama. Yama said this to him. Ashcharya Vakta Kushalosya Labdha. This thing called soul, or whatever, however we address the soul, Ashcharya Vakta Kushalasya Labdha. That the person who speaks about the soul, it's amazing when he speaks about it. Kushalosya Labdha. And it is also amazing when one has managed to get the understanding of the soul or realization of the soul from a person who is realized. Ashcharya Jnada Kushalani Shishtaha. And a person who is realized this soul, spiritual truth or the self-realization, once it has happened to someone, he is an ascharyam. He is an amazing thing. And Kushalani Shishtaha. And one who has managed to get it from somebody and got realized it, it's also amazing. So all through instructions from Krishna to Arjuna, Yama to Nachiketas, you will see this statement about the soul, about the soul's nature. Very difficult to understand what it is. But when you get it, when you got that realization, it's amazing. That's what they're saying. So when Arjuna heard this thing from Krishna, Arjuna's mind started work. Arjuna started thinking in this way, that if it's such an amazing thing, and only when you get it, you will know it. That is made Arjuna to ask this question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. Do you understand what I'm saying? That when Arjuna heard this statement from Krishna about the nature of the soul, Arjuna understood that it cannot be explained, but only when you get it, you will know what it is. The nature of that. When you get the self-realization, when you realize the truth. So, having heard this, Arjuna heard this, and similarly, Nachiketas heard this from Yama. This is the same thing, nothing different. Substance is same, essence is the same. Ashcharya Vakta Kushalosya Labdha. Ashcharya Jnada Kushalana Shishta. When these things are happening, Arjuna understood that this cannot be explained. So the only thing he could ask Krishna was, tell me the person who has got it, how he acts. So that is the reason why he asked Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha has come from that verse, from that question, from that statement from Krishna. Arjuna's reaction to that is Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. The Bhagavad Gita verses is Ashcharyaval Pashari Kashchidenam Ashcharyaval Vatadhi Tadhaiva Chanyaha Ashcharyaval Chainam Anyashranodhi Shotvapyenam Vedanas Chaiva Kaschil. So in relationship to that, Arjuna asked that question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, isn't it? Sthita Prajnatum, what is the nature of that person? So Krishna is saying here that in order to realize this truth, Sthita Prajnatum to come, that the Kurmanganiva Sarvasha, the first requirement is like the senses must be withdrawn from the sense objects. And that connection should be broken. Now here, some people will say this is not possible, isn't it? Many of us, we know the difficulty also in this statement from Krishna. How can we withdraw from all the sense objects? Because throughout the day, we are interacting with the world outside. Our senses are interacting with the world outside. And as long as the senses are interacting with the world, Kurmanganiva Sarvasha is not going to happen. But Krishna is saying, Yada Samharadi Chayam Kurmanganiva Sarvasha Indriyani Indriyarthebhyo Tasya Prajna Pradishthita. Now, the world is one, Krishna's words is different. In daily life, in our life, how we are dealing with the world, how we live in this world, that is one thing. What Krishna is saying here, this is something different. Something different. But we know that in order to realize the self, we have to accept what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So for spiritual realization, we have to follow Krishna's instructions. On the practical level, we have to deal with this world. On a practical level, we have to deal with this world. But if our priority is self-realization, then we can adjust our relationship with the world. Our relationship with the world. What is mentioned here is adhikarina mahaste balasiddhi visheshadah upaya deshakalakhyam sandhyasmin sahakarinah. Now we all have this problem in us. What is that? We will become very critical about this process. We become very critical. We will say it is not possible to do this. How to withdraw the mind and senses from the world? It's a very difficult thing for most of us. We will not agree with it, and because we'll say it's not a practical thing. And therefore, many people will say like this, that I'm not able to execute bhakti. They will also say different explanations, and they will say the time is not very favorable. I am engaged in family life, therefore I cannot do it. Family life is a problem. Or they may say I am working, therefore I can't do it. Work is a problem. And also there is nobody else to give us on a daily basis some help or guidance in this matter. That is a problem. They will say the situation at home is not favorable. Like this, you hear this kind of arguments every day. People giving different reasons why they cannot practice spiritual life or bhakti. We cannot practice bhakti because I have all these difficulties. Family problems, work problems at work, or other reasons whatsoever, whatever it may be. Krishna's point is, that's all correct, that if they were all favorable, it will be good. It's also good. It is true also. But what we have noticed in the history is, it's always in places where the circumstances are against you, people have come up with realizations, spiritual realizations. The important point to realize here is that if all these things are favorable for spiritual life, you will not take to spiritual life. That is the secret behind it. That suppose everything is favorable, the situation at workplace is favorable, at home it's favorable, and there's not so much of a distractions in life from in various different sources. Still, Krishna's point is, it may not happen. It may not happen to you. Spiritual realization will not happen to you because of all the situation being favorable. Deshakala saharina, it says. It is not the situation that makes a person to advance in spiritual life. That's what we must, first point we have to recognize. Then what is it then that makes a person spiritually progressing? It is his seriousness. How serious that person is in spiritual life. All other things which are coming in life and becoming obstacles, that will come and that will go. The finest example for this is Prahlada. Father, a demon. Not only a demon, demon of the highest caliber. Isn't it? He did such things to destroy him and to take him away from spiritual life. The seventh canto, Saptama Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam is important. It's only because of this that Prahlada, as realized soul, comes out from the womb of Mother Kayadhu, and coming out of Kayadhu himself in a realized state, and has to constantly fight against the influence of his demonic father and the demonic society where he lived. In spite of that, eventually Prahlada wins the battle. Hiranyakashipu dies, and all other demons who have worked, gone against Prahlada, they all had to go. So the point is that it is not the circumstances that is actually encourages a person to take to spiritual life. That is only an excuse we have taken in our own mind. Our mind, that negative mind, has created that thought in us very strongly, and sometimes association with people who also are not serious about spiritual life, they will advise us in that way. That's where we have to become serious. So Krishna's point is that all what Krishna is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, if it is not practical, if it is not possible, Krishna wouldn't have spoken about these things. The fact that Krishna has told us that it has to be done shows that it is practical. What is required is that Shraddha inside us. So, if we think that all the great yogis, jnanis, devotees, they all of them have grown up in the in an environment which were totally against it, that therefore, when we have started experiencing that the happiness of the soul within, that we will automatically become serious about it. This favorable, unfavorable situation, one should not give too much importance to it. We just have to know where to, because no matter how many, whatever problems one may have in spiritual life, either because of work reasons or family reasons or other reasons, whatever we may have, those things are not permanent also. They also will come and go. The important thing to know is not to give importance to it, to the extent what we do today, that we should not think too much about that situation. Oh, I am in this situation, so I cannot execute spiritual life. In our effort to realize the soul, nothing is required from the external world. All that is required is a commitment in spiritual life. So internal realizations will flow from that. And when the internal realizations happen, automatically our interest in the world outside and our interest in the other issues will go away from inside. When it becomes experience, then when we feel that external things are taking over, then we feel weak. And then we lose our patience. Then there is no effort. And that's the result. That strengthens the opposing elements inside us. Pratigulam, it says, Upayaha desha kaladyaha. So, the upaya desha kaladya sandhyasmin sahakarinaha. The word says there that sandhyasmin sahakarinaha. These are sahakarinas. That means sahakarigal. That mainly upaya desha kalaha, the time and place is not favorable, we say. Time and place will never be favorable. You can never say that time and place is favorable. Some people say, oh, I can only have spiritual life when I go to India or when I am in Vrindavan or Mayapur. Other places I cannot have spiritual life because it's not the right place. I'm not in the right place. Or sometimes they say that the time is not favorable. I have all these kind of commitments in life and I've got to work and therefore I can't do this, I can't do that. But they are, Krishna is saying, they are itself is not so important. Because if your determination is inside that you want to realize the truth, you want to escape from here, from this cycle of birth and death, and coming back to this material life again, accepting another material body, Krishna is saying there, this human life, what you have got, you have to give priority to this first, and then adjust all other things based on this. Adjust all other things based on this, Krishna is saying there. So, deshakala, deshakala, deshak upayaha, deshakala dhyaha. Then, deshakalam is the sahakariga, sahakarina. Sahakari means that has some impact on us. So, the important thing is we should become qualified for spiritual life, qualifications. That's adhikari bhedam, adhikarityam. Adhikarityam means how to become qualified for spiritual life. That for that, it is mandatory, it's absolute necessary that senses must come under control. Mind should become mature in that way. And in order for that to happen, the primary cause is that we want to have Krishna in Krishna. We want to have Krishna with us. So in order to get Krishna, we require these things. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Atma Sakshatkara means self-realization. Self-realization. That's the only way self-realization will happen. A strong desire to have Krishna. So to get Krishna, this commitment or this control of the mind, control of the senses is necessary. Without that, it's not going to happen. So they give the example that if your head is caught fire, what do you do? Do you start sitting there and thinking about it? Immediately look for water to pour it on the head if the head has caught fire. So similarly, only if that sort of seriousness inside or the fire is inside, this self-realization will come up in due course. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Then how will that happen? That when the jiva, conditioned soul, develops a maturity, that he recognizes that he has got ignorance inside him, ajnanam inside. We all have to recognize that first. We have ignorance inside. Secondly, we also have to look at the world and see the temporary nature of this world. Temporary nature of this world. And we also have to see the cheating nature of the objects of this world. All the objects in this world will cheat us one day, isn't it? For example, in the family life, all the family members will leave you one day. They will all go in their own way. There's nothing that is permanent between in that relationship. All the assets or valuable things what you have accumulated in this world, assets what you have accumulated, they will also leave you. This is the cheating nature of this world. This is the cheating nature of this world. So the temporary and cheating nature of this world, and also the temporary nature of this world, plus added to that our own gross ignorance in us. Ajnanam. What is that ajnanam? Ajnanam is this, that I don't know who I am. That's our ajnanam. I don't know who I am. Remember, Sanatana Goswami, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was the only question he has asked. I don't know who I am. This is called ajnanam, ignorance in a person. And that ignorance is in all of us. You can't say, it's not in me, it's not in you. It's in every one of us. I don't know who I am. And I also, so when this question is strong inside, I don't know who I am. Sanatana Goswami has also lived like this, like us in this world. He also had to go through all the experiences with the Kasi under him, managing the administration and every, so many things he had to do in this world as a ordinary person does, jiva does. So when Sanatana Goswami came to realize that I don't know who I am, that is where he became stronger in his spiritual pursuit. That's when the whole rest of the things happens after that. So I don't know who I am, that is ignorance in us. The nature of the world is temporary. And in addition to that, all these things will cheat us one day or the other. They will cheat us and go away. Including your own body will cheat you. Including your own body will cheat you. This body whom we have cared for so carefully throughout the life, looked after it, and fed the body, bathed the body, and maintained the body in so many ways, and this body will cheat you one day. So when one looks at all these things and see his awkward condition, when he realizes that, that is when this determination to find the truth will develop strongly in a person. So, this is called adhikaritvam. Adhikaritvam means this, that a person who has reflected on all these things deeply enough and has come to the conclusion that I have to escape. I cannot go on living like, I cannot go on carrying out this life in this way, always being cheated by the world, cheated by my ignorance, cheated by my body, cheated by the rest of the world. How should I carry on living? In this condition, I can never be happy. It's not possible. It's only patch-up work what we are doing here. But the real solution, Krishna is saying here, that this adhikaritvam, when one develops that thing, Krishna says the result will be that proper virakti, detachment will come from inside and he is qualified for this inquiry. even if one does not have sense control, even if one does not have the control of the mind, if this fire is inside, Krishna says he will realize the truth. If this fire is inside, and that is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita when he mentions this verse, Apiched Sudhiracharo Bhajademam Ananyabhag Sadhur Eva Samandavya Samyag Vavasidohisa Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmatma Shashwat Chandim Nigachari Kaundaya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Do you remember these two verses? It's famous in the Bhagavad Gita. Apiched Sudhiracharo Bhajademam Ananyabhag Sadureva Samandavya Samyag Vavasidohisa Kshipram Bhavadi Dharmatma Shashwat Chandim Nigachari Kaundaya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyadi. What Krishna is saying there, that a person is very strongly determined to, because in his inside he is burning, this fire is burning. Which fire? That he has come to understand that he is ignorant, very ignorant inside. Because he doesn't know who he is. That's the first thing. And he also does not know where he is going. What's the end of all this? He also doesn't know where he has come from. Why is he here? What's this business? All these things are unknown to him. He doesn't know. Plus, he has also saw the temporary nature of his own body, that it's going to cheat him one day. Little by little, it's withering away and one day gives all sorts of problems and eventually it leaves him. Second. Thirdly, he also understood that the so-called relationships in this world are all false. Actually, they're all false relationships, isn't it? That somehow or the other, we have all been brought together and we'll be broken away one day in due course of time by the powerful time. So, he also saw the inevitable thing, what is going to happen, the futility of all these relationships in the world. Added to that, he also realizes that everything in this world, what he is trying to acquire and keep as his own, will leave him one day when he leaves his body. So in everything he sees the falsity. Krishna is saying, even if that person who has not developed the control of the mind and control of the senses, even if he has not developed a proper spiritual qualifications, if this knowledge is inside, at least if he has started seeing things in this way, such a person, Sudhuracharo, Sudhuracharo means one who has got bad habits. Dhuracharo means bad habits. Sudhuracharo means extremely bad habits. Very much more powerful. More than Dhuracharya, Sudhuracharya. Abhiched Sudhuracharo Bhajade Imam Ananyabhag. But if he has this strong desire in him to come to me, Krishna says, if he has that strong desire in him to come to me, Krishna says, I will call him a sadhu. I will call him a sadhu. Sabudreva Samandavya Samyak Vyavasidohisa. Why? Because he has this desire in him very strongly for realization, the truth, self-realization, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. He will become an advanced person and Shashwat Chandim Nigachari. He will attain that peace inside. Kaunteya Arjuna Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. Take it from me, he says to Arjuna, my devotee, my Bhakta. Bhakta means, this is how you have to understand Bhakta. Bhakta is not one who is visiting temple every day, or who is engaged in doing arati every day as a duty, or who is busy in other activities and claiming himself to be. Bhakta is this person who has got this fire in him. He is Bhakta. Krishna calls, Kaunteya Pradijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashari. Such a person will never fall. Because why? His goal is very precise, and his goal is his aim or his commitment to the realization of the truth is very strong. Even though he has difficulties in his sense control and mind control of the mind, they themselves are not the important things. Krishna is saying, if that thought is inside, that his urgency or the desire for self-realization is very strong inside, Krishna says there that Kurmangani Sarvasha will happen to him without too much trouble. So this is what, here something we have to understand. You see, normally people will say like this, that I am a good person. I don't do anything wrong. Have you seen many people will say like this? They say that all these spiritual things what you are talking about is not, I'm not interested because I'm not doing anything wrong. That I only do good things, I give charity, I don't give trouble to anybody, I give a lot of people a lot of help, what I can give. I look after my family, I keep a good relationship with everybody, I keep a good, I make sure that I do everything for the society and community what I live. So people define goodness in many, many ways. But what they do not know, that even if you do all these things, Krishna's point is, only one who has got mumukshutva. Mumukshutva means this strong desire to escape from this material world. He is the only person who is really good. The reason is this, Krishna's argument is this, that all that is good in this world is coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything that is good in this world. And one who has desire to get closer to Krishna and one who has desire to know about Krishna and who has got that jinyasa or inquisitiveness inside, only such a person can be good. Not the person who talks about doing good to others and acting on the mood of goodness, even that Krishna is saying is not the ultimate thing. The person, he's really good, one who is actually going, inquiring about Krishna. Because Krishna is the source of everything that is good. That's why it is like that. Krishna is the source of everything that is good. So if one is not inquiring after Krishna, one is not taking Krishna's advice and instruction seriously, that person is considered to be not good. Not good. Because he may be doing so many good things in this world, giving charity, giving, helping others. But this inquiry hasn't started inside of how to get closer to Krishna, the truth. Truth is only Krishna. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So that's the point Krishna is making, that in this situation also, in Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see this very clearly. How does Bhagavadam begins? Bhagavadam begins with this, isn't it? Satram Surgaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasada Sudha Goswami and Shaunaga Rishi, they met in Naimisharanyam. Did they not? Shaunaga Maharshi and Shaunaga Rishi and so many other sages who were performing this long time sacrifice, Sahasra Samamasata, it says there, isn't it? Lasting thousands of years. Now you may ask the question, how would the people live thousands of years at that time? No, you have to understand it this way, that the sacrifice was going on for many, many parampara, many, many generations that sacrifices were going on. At that particular instance, when Sudha Goswami came there, Shaunaga Rishi was present there with many other sages. That is when this discussion happened. Otherwise, people will ask this kind of questions. They will say that, was Shaunaga Rishi lived more than 1,000 years? Or Sudha Goswami lived more than 1,000 years? No, the answer to that is, if you accept it this way, that the sacrifice was going on for many generations in that place in Naimisharanyam. At the time when Sudha Goswami came there, Shaunaga Rishi was present there with many other sages who were also involved in the sacrifice. It is there this question happened, isn't it? What was that question? Question was this, that they asked Sudha Goswami that what is the goal of this life? Because Shaunaga Rishi and others, dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Four things, isn't it? Which we all know. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. So, Sudha Goswami, they were executing this sacrifice for the benefit of all and with these four things in mind. Which one? Dharmartha, kama, moksham. With these things in mind, they were executing the sacrifices. It was then that Sudha Goswami told them one thing. What was that? Sudha Goswami said, all these four are not the important ones. He said, all the four are not the important ones. It is only the last one that is important. Which one? Moksha, liberation, freedom from the cycle of birth and death. That is important. Who said this? Sudha Goswami said this to Shaunaka Rishi and others present there. The Sudha Goswami corrected them. He said, dharmam, artham, kamam, they are not discussed in the Vedic literature. Only topic that is discussed is the moksham. Reason for that is, Sudha Goswami's logic is very good. He is saying that artham and kamam is not to be discussed by the Veda. Vedas have no interest in that because every living being, and every living entity when it comes to this world, he brings with him all kinds of vasanas from previous lifetimes, isn't it? Different vasanas. And having gone through different bodies, we have acquired different qualities of that different species. Just like we have animal's nature in us, isn't it? Getting angry and violence and such things. These are animalistic propensities. Lusty desires. They are all animalistic propensities. Why did they develop in us? Because in previous lifetimes, in different bodies, this is what we were used to. Vasanas were created in that way. That vasanas have followed us in our subtle body. In this body is new. But the mind is not new. It's an old mind. Mind is much more older than the body. So inside the mind, we have acquired all these vasanas from previous lifetimes in different species. That's all present there. And that is what is prompting us to engage in arthakamam. Arthakamam means acquiring wealth and enjoying the senses. That is arthakamam. So even without Veda telling us to do it, we will do it. Nobody need to tell us that we have to make money in this world. Nobody need to tell us how to enjoy the senses. You can see in the rest of the world, many places in the world, they have developed these two things very well. What is that? Artham and Kamam. Making money, they don't consult Vedas, do they? They are very, very rich people in this world who have made wealth. Did they consult Vedic literature, how to make the wealth? No. They simply acted with their vasanas inside. Making money was their top priority and they worked in that direction. And secondly, they also had the next priority as enjoying the wealth, kamam. So artham and kamam, even without Vedas telling us, it will happen. Without any guidance and help, we can work. And as soon as we develop our karmendriyam and yanendriyam, senses of knowledge and senses of action becomes powerful, we will work in this world. Vasanas will push us to work. And also, our desire for acquiring wealth is already there inside. Intense desire inside to accumulate wealth. So, artham will be acquired whether Vedas tell us or not. Kamam, in the same way, sense gratification also, nobody needs to teach us. Why? The kama vasana or the vasanas related to sense gratification is already inside us. Nobody needs to tell us that. So once the vasana is inside, the kamam or desire is inside, accordingly we will develop all the necessary facilities and arrangements for sense gratification. Nobody needs to teach us that. Isn't it? So, Sudha Goswami's point was this, that out of the four, artham and kamam doesn't require any guidance from anyone. You have already bought it with you when you have come from the previous lifetimes through the mind or the subtle body. Now, then why did this dharmam comes? Dharmam came in. Dharmam came in there because of only one reason, that our sages who knew this secret of our existence, that we have this arthakamam very strongly inside, they knew that it won't be possible to stop that by one stroke, by telling them not to do it. So what they thought was that at least if we can regulate it or restrict it to some level, by with some injunctions, with proper injunctions, or do it in such a way that it does not disturb somebody, each other. Suppose there was no dharma at all, what will happen? We will be at each other's throat. We'll kill anyone in order to satisfy my desires. That selfishness will develop so strongly. So the sages thought, at least if we can regulate it, these desires, at least if we can regulate these desires, that, and also, at least if we can regulate these desires and bring some discipline into life, there will be some peaceful existence in this world. At least there will be some peaceful existences in this world. Kamam, krodham, lust, anger, and all these things are inside. So Shastram is also now telling us these things. Do you know that, don't you? That the modern science is also pointing out to us that when they've started developing this DNA and all that, they're saying that the many of the DNAs or the animals are in the human body. But when they analyzed the animals, they didn't find these DNAs, human DNAs in the animal's body. In other words, they are also slowly accepting this principle that something in the human body which has acquired from somewhere else, they don't clearly say that it is from the previous lifetimes because they have not accepted the presence of the soul yet. But on an external research level, they are accepting this point that some of these propensities in us are in the animals. And they say, they call it as the DNA or whatever the scientific word it is. But all it is that they are saying that the propensities are there in them and it is in us, and it is due to that particular DNAs in the animals are present in us as well. So, kamam, krodham, they are all coming from that. So, at the same time, our human propensities, some of the particular qualities in the human body, they don't see it in the animals. They don't see it in the animals. So, what is that forcing us to act in this way? There is a strong urge or a drive in us, and Krishna calls this as vegam. That's a word in the Shastram. It's called vegam. That vegam is inside. So the urge inside will force us to act in a particular way. So, at that point, that if there is some control or discipline in this, at least the sages understood that we will not fight and kill each other. And there will be some peace within this world. And therefore, they brought this word dharmam there. Dharmam is not the goal. Unfortunately, what happens is sometimes we get deflected by this dharmam. We think that execution of dharmam is the priority in life. Execution of dharmam is not the priority. Actually, the priority is liberation. Goal is moksham. Moksham is the goal. So, out of the four, dharmam, artham, kamam, as far as Krishna is concerned, is not priority. And therefore, Sudha Goswami had to tell Shaunaga Rishi this in the Bhagavatam in the beginning. If you have you looked at the Bhagavatam verses, you will see there in the very second chapter, Sudha Goswami is saying to Shaunaga Rishi, dharmasya sabhavargasya artho arthaya kalpade, arthasya dharmai gandasya, kamo labhaya hismrada, kamasya indriya preedi, labho jiveda yavada, jivasya tatvadijnyasa na arthascheha karmabhi. In those two verses, very bluntly, Sudha Goswami said, Shaunaga Rishi, you have completely misunderstood everything. Dharmam, artham, kamam, then itself is not the goal of life. That's what he's saying. Dharmasya, abhavargasya, artho, anarthaya kalpade. What will happen by practicing this? Artasya, dharmai gandhasya, kamo, labhaya, hismrada. What is the profit from that at the end? Kamasya, indriya preedi. Kamam is only indriya preedi. Labho jiveda yavada. What life is not going to be profitable by doing that. Jivasya tattvajnyasa. Tattvajnyasa, or tattvajnyasa means realization of the truth or inquiring after the truth. Na artha is cheha karmabhi. Artham, acquiring artham and engaging in karmam is not the goal. And it is after that, he said, vadandida tattvavidam. Tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabjade. So, Tattvavid, one who has realized the truth, they have already come to this conclusion that non-dual principle, Advaita Jnanam, Tattvajnanam Advayam, that knowledge of non-dual substance, Brahmedi, which is called as Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. Transcendentalists address it in three different ways. Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavan Iti Shabdyade. And why is it called non-dual substance? Because there is no duality in that knowledge. When one has acquired that knowledge, duality goes away. Yat jnanam advayam brahmedi parama. And that knowledge itself is called brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavan iti shabdade. He mentioned it like this in the Bhagavatam. So, so who should do execute the dharmam? By engaging in this dharmam, bringing this dharmam into life, dharmic principles into life, that somehow or the other, they have put some kind of a boundary within which we should operate, and in that way, so that the vasanas don't increase too much. And when the vasanas goes away, it is then that the tattva-jijnyasa develops in a person. Because we have vasana, tattva-jijnyasa is not developing inside. That is the conclusion. When the vasanas goes away, tattva-jijnyasa, vasanas means this, propensities inside, the karma vasana inside. When that goes away, what will happen is when the vasanas goes away, then the tattva jinyasa, inquiry after the truth will begin. So, it is only then we will ask these serious questions. What is that question? What is this thing called birth? What is this thing called death? What is the purpose of living? And once the inside is purified, free from vasanas, tattva-jijnyasa will develop there. And so most of the times you can see, unless the question comes from a person, acharyas won't answer that. They won't go and answer this question. The same thing happened to Arjuna also, isn't it? Arjuna had certain experiences in life, and he's come to a stage in life where he ultimately came to Krishna and told him, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam, that I don't know what the truth is. I have to go through all these experiences in life. When he was put on the spot to fight the war, he got confused. Arjuna got confused. And Arjuna mentioned this to Krishna at that point. Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam, I surrender unto you. Please instruct me what I should do. So, this question did not happen before. Many, many years, Krishna and Arjuna were friends. As you know, they were friends. And never once Krishna talked about the soul with Arjuna. You don't find anywhere any reference to. Normally, if Krishna was concerned about Arjuna, and if Krishna was more concerned about taking Arjuna back to the spiritual world, Krishna would have spoken about transcendental subjects to Arjuna before, would he not? But why did Krishna won't speak to him? Why he waited all along the way till it came to Kurukshetram? Reason is this, that Arjuna was not ready. Arjuna was not asking this question, what he should have been asking before, which he hasn't asked, Krishna didn't answer. So when the question came up, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prapannam, that I don't know what I am. I don't know what I should do. Exactly like Sanatana Goswami asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, many, many personalities have asked this question. Only then they will answer this question. Otherwise it will. And it is the same question, came out in different ways, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. So Sthita Prajnatvam, that Sthita Prajnatvam, many, many people have asked this question. And simply by wearing saffron clothes, it won't happen. Just because somebody is wearing saffron, it will happen. No, it may not happen. Though if by wearing saffron, if this knowledge will happen, many people would have had that knowledge. But it doesn't happen. How does that happen? Because, to give you the example, Arjuna himself. Arjuna also took sannyas before. You know that story, don't you? That prior to all this happened in Mahabharatam, Kurukshetram war, Arjuna took sannyas one day and went to see Krishna. And in Dwarka, when he met, he saw a girl in the garden. And question Arjuna asked Krishna was, who is that girl? This was the question from Arjuna. Esha ka, who is that? And Krishna has one nature. So long as you are not inquiring about spiritual life, whatever you ask Krishna, he will say, that's okay. He will not say no to anybody. Krishna's nature is like that. Except from about spiritual life. Anything outside spiritual life, you ask Krishna anything about other issues, Krishna will say, that's okay, accepted. Okay means accepted. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. I have no problem with that. Then, therefore, this saying okay is an important thing in spiritual life also. Suppose, sometimes you will see people coming to you, shall I do this or not? They already have decided what they are going to do. So, if you tell them no, they are still going to do what they want to do. So, best thing is to tell them, that's okay, accepted. Whatever you want to do, do it. That's okay, accepted. This is one way, Narada Maharshi says in the Bhagavadam, is to escape when there is problem at home. When there is problem at home. If you keep fighting against every issue, that is not a good thing. Because generally what happens is, in family life also, when you have husband, wife, children, they all have to interact with each other. Quite often, there will be disagreements, isn't it? Disagreement will happen. So, therefore, in such a situations, at least if you say it's okay, that person will leave you. The person will leave you. And generally, Krishna's approach is this, that whatever we want to do, the person who is behind it, to giving us the strength to do it, that is Krishna. Whatever we want to do in life, the person who is standing behind it, behind that, and allowing us to do it and giving us the strength to do it, is Krishna. So, whether we do it the right thing or the wrong thing, it is because of Krishna's presence that we are doing that. And that's why Krishna is saying, it's okay. I'll give you the strength to do what you want. So, in the seventh canto, Sri Narada Maharshi says this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. In householder life, how one should apply this principle, what Krishna applies to everybody. What is that? Nyadaya pidarau putra bradara suhrudo apare yad vadandi yad icchandi cha anumodena nirmama. This is Narada Maharshi, householder life. He is saying, condenses in these two lines. How one should deal with in the householder life. Nyadaya pidarau putra bradara suhrudo apare. That means your own parents, children, brothers, friends, and so many others. Nyadaya pidarau putra bradara suhrudo apare yad vadandi yad icchandi. Whatever they say, or if they are desiring something, yad vadandi yad icchandi chanu modeda nirmama. You go along with it and tell them, that's okay. Just say, okay, nirmama, and don't be attached to it. Don't be attached to it. You may say that, how can we apply this in our daily dealings? But if you keep this in the mind, that chanu modeda nirmama, that without attachment, if you say to them, whatever that has to happen in life will happen. You can't stop it. If you are thinking that because of your good decision making, that everything has happened in this world, that's our biggest foolishness. Or if you are thinking that I made the wrong decision, therefore things have gone wrong, that's also wrong understanding. Things will happen in its own way. There we have no control over it. It's only our misunderstanding that everything is because of my judgment, that things are happening in the right way. So Krishna, Narada Maharshi's point is, whatever principle, whatever proposals people come to you, just shake your head and say, it's okay with you. It's okay and leave them that. Anumodena, anumodeda nirmama, but without being attached to anything. In that case, you will escape from big problems in life. That's the point he is making. You'll escape from... Why it is like that? If you do all these things, then your mind will not get unnecessarily driven into difficult situations and you'll be able to go for the right purpose for which we are here in this world. In case of... when Arjuna asked... when Arjuna... Krishna understood that Arjuna was interested to marry Subhadra. Krishna says, never said one word. You want to get married to Subhadra? Get married to her, no problem. Take her, here she is. And that was Krishna's mood. So, this is how Krishna works. Krishna, how he deals with us is in this way. The jiva, conditioned soul, has many, many desires inside. Isn't it? Many, many desires inside. And keeping all these desires, if he is asking about self-realization, actually, inside I have material desires. Externally, I am inquiring about the truth. In such a situation, what Krishna does is, he will fulfill the internal desires, not the external questions. He won't answer the external questions because that is where Krishna replies, not outside. Outside, I can go ask many, many questions to other people about self-realization. I can show a lot of interest in spiritual life. But at the same time, if my inside I am hankering after money or fame or wealth or followers or anything, it is those things Krishna will fulfill. That is Krishna's nature. Why? Antaryami inside is Krishna. Guru inside is Krishna. Atmanye. Remember that verse in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is saying there that Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasa Anuvindade Atmano Guru Atmaiva. Sitting inside us, he knows what is the desire inside, the genuine desire. If the genuine desire is fulfilling our material happiness and material desires, instead of giving us our external desires, what we are displaying in this world as spiritual life, and we tell others, I want to find out what is the truth, I want to know how to become self-realized, I want to develop spiritual knowledge, I want to find a guru. All these things are external, but inside I have material desires to make a life comfortable and to have fame and glory and wealth and followers and all that. Krishna fulfills those desires because he sits inside and he knows inside what's going on. He knows all the external things, what he's talking about is only a lip service. So therefore he doesn't give any value to it. So this one point is important. He will always look at inside, what's going on inside. Why? He's present there. As Supasoul is Antaryami there, and plus he knows the situation with the jiva. Jiva's different desires. Because Arjuna didn't ask this question till now, because that desire wasn't there inside. And when the desire in the inside is purified, the question will automatically come. Where is the solution to all my problems? How to get rid of this distress, what I am experiencing? Science is also asking the same question. Modern science is also asking the same questions. But where is the difference between the modern science and the way Vedic inquiry is? There's a big difference. And that is why we have to go in two different directions. You see, how did this scientific progress and sciences developed? In order to find solution to our problems, isn't it? That's what science is after. They are lying to make our life happy, comfortable, and for that, different kinds of inquiries we have brought in, and we glorify scientists for that, isn't it? We glorify the scientists for that. But at some point, science goes one direction, we go in another direction. I'll tell you what that point is. When the science started its inquiry, it go on in a direction like this. For example, they try to, we have been taught at the schools, I'm sure you also have the same, that when the apple fell, Newton started asking the question, why did the apple fall? Isn't it? Similarly, we ask the question that whether this earth is flat or round, it's a globe or it's a flat thing. These are the questions the scientists have asked in the past, and for many lifetimes, this question was discussed, analyzed, inquired, and they have found some answer, and we were taught all these things at the school. Now, these are issues related to the world outside, isn't it, about the creation. Now, today also, their inquiry has not stopped. They are still trying to find out where all these planets have come from, where is the origin, when did this all start, and where is it going, and who is running it. This inquiry is all in the scientist's mind also. Fair enough. But the problem here is, they have started inquiry on things when they themselves, they have not found out what is the problems they have immediately very close to them. They are trying to solve the problems which are far away from them. Now, for me or for you, how does it matter whether the earth is flat or round or why the apple has fallen? We used to make fun of that in the school also. When we were taught first time in the 7th or 8th class about this Newton's theory, that we were made to learn all these kind of things, which we found was absolutely not much of a benefit in as far as spiritual life is concerned, in the sense that it's not answering the question. Here we have got problems with this body. I'm suffering in this body with old age, death, disease and things like that. And constantly, the happiness what you are getting in this world is losing, because the people whom you live with, they are leaving you one after the other. Body is giving you trouble. And then various other problems all related to your own existence in this world is there. And there is no question about any of these things, but I am very concerned about what's happened to the apple when it fell on this head, or what happened whether the earth is flat or round, things like that. So the science is going and looking at problems which are not so immediately important to me. What is important to me right now is, what am I doing here? What is my business here? This is my first inquiry. Is it just to live in this body like this and go away, die from this world and go away without asking, knowing what I'm going to happen in the future? I don't even know my identity, what I am. I'm completely deceived by this so-called education. So we used to say this, that the apple fell on his ground. Instead, if a coconut has fallen on the ground, it would have been better. Why? At least we didn't have to study all these things, all this nonsense. This is how we used to think about this at that time. You can understand this, because as far as the spiritual inquiry is a much more important inquiry than the inquiry what the scientists are bringing forth. They are busy now with this inquiry for going to other planets. What good is it to me whether there is water in the moon if there is no water in the moon? Does it make any difference to me? If there is life in the Mars planet, or if there is no life in the Mars planet, does it affect my life here? All these inquiries are useless inquiries. This is not inquiries. This is not the jitnyasa what Shastram is talking about. From the Shastram point, from the Vedic point of view, immediately our inquiry, first inquiry should be, why am I living here? What's my job here? Why have I come here to this situation? Who am I? What is my identity? If these questions, if I am not asking whether water in the moon or the life in the Mars planet or Saturn planet, all these are irrelevant. They are not questions to be worried about. They are not bothering us so much. Isn't it? They're not bothering us so much. This is the basic questions we have to ask. Krishna is saying here that in the same way, then that if you have, people will immediately get distracted by all these things. This modern science has created this havoc in this world, not allowing anybody to think even in the right way. They won't allow them to think. Why? Because they have been taught in the schools from the early classes itself. You put this computer in front of them and you tell them, now you keep on searching the truth through the computer. And they'll keep on searching till they get sick at the end, and they go crazy at the end. That's what will happen. Already they are crazy, and by this education system, that's what's going to happen. They won't allow them to come to live a life in this world where there can be proper inquiry after the spiritual realization. Such things won't happen. So there is, what happened was that if we give our attention, instead of giving our attention to the immediate problems which are closer to us, the problems that are closer to us, rather if we give our attention to problems which absolutely don't have any connection with us, why do we do that? Because because of the ajnanam, because of the ignorance in us. We even do not know what our problems are, what to speak about finding a solution to the problem. This is a difficulty, that when you don't know what questions we have to ask, what problems we are, our problems are, what's the point in going and asking questions which has no relevance to us? So this situation, always once it so happened that there was one Swami Ramdas was his name. The Swami Ramdas had an ashram, and in that ashram there were many inmates, many people were living there. So the inmates there, they came to the ashram not with 100% interest in spiritual life, because they are not ready for it. And so naturally they were interested a little bit in the politics in the world outside. So two political parties were contesting one election. So there were two people were sitting together and discussing this. One supports one party, another one supports another party. So both were arguing each other that if this party comes into power, it's good for us. The other person was saying that if the other party comes into power, it'll be good for us. So those two were arguing each other, and meanwhile this Swamiji came that way. Swamiji Ramdas came that way. So they thought, let's ask Swamiji whom we should vote for. This was the question in their mind going through. Like just like here now, Labour and Tories are there, two parties, and both parties are saying they are doing the right thing. And there are people who support one party and there are people who support the other party. But when they came to Ramdas and asked this question, Ramdas asked a question to them, whichever party will take you closer to the self-realization, you can vote for them, he says. So they said that they are not telling us directly that thing, he says, because normally the parties don't talk to you those things, do they? Parties will tell you about the policies, what they will follow and all kinds of things. So they said to Swami, that Swamiji, they are not going to answer that question, but ultimately you have to think that they are going to run the country, isn't it? They are going to run the state. So at least we should be careful about deciding who should rule us, isn't it? It's only a natural question, isn't it? Because many times, people, even devotees also fall into this situation. Sometimes we can see from their writings that they think that this party will be favorable for us in our spiritual life or for preaching Krishna consciousness, so we should support this party. The other party is not so favorable to us, whereas if this party takes power, we will get a lot of preaching opportunities and we'll make the whole world Krishna conscious. So this kind of misunderstanding comes. Swami Ramdas answered that question to him very nicely. He says to him, my dear friends, he says, there is only one thing that has affected you in this world, not these political parties. That's your own ignorance on these things. Your own ignorance, your mind. That you are thinking that you always this conviction that all the problems outside, you can adjust that with your politics and with your management or whatever that is. But that is, nobody can touch that. The problems outside will keep coming one after the other. They will come, they will go. And which way it will all happen, that nobody can say. Nobody can say. In such a situation, it is important thing is, he says to them, that you should be more concerned about your getting rid of that ignorance in you and come to the platform of spiritual life and self-realization. That is the answer to that question. Instead of giving importance to this party or that party, that's not the answer to the problems. That is a material concept of spiritual life. Materialist concept. Once a wealthy person wanted to walk around in the deep forest, so he gave an order to his assistants that you spread a big carpet where I can walk freely, because it's full of thorns everywhere, so I can walk in the forest very comfortably. That was his instructions. So somebody came up to him and told him, be a little intelligent. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is to put a nice pair of shoes and then you can walk. You don't have to spread the carpet everywhere to walk. There's no need for that. So he said, yeah, he understands that now, he says. So similarly, that all what is required is that ignorance inside, if it goes away, and if there is peace inside, then automatically that peace will spread all over. There is no peace inside, that is why we have disturbed situation outside. If there is peace inside, which will only come from the spiritual life, Krishna is saying here that that is the only way that it can happen. And that is why Indriyan Indriyarthebhyo, Krishna says that Indriyam and sense objects, senses and sense objects, that connection should go. Kurmanganiva Sarvasha. And this is the way to find the peace inside, which will eventually lead into Sthita Prajnatvam. So as you analyze, you can see that our mind has this nature of going external and trying to find solutions there. Once that stops there and realizes that I have to break this connection with the world outside and go inwards, and therefore that will be the way to find the solution to the problem. And therefore Krishna says that this place is called, that this is the reason why the material world is given the name samsaram. Isn't it? Samsara Dhavan Analita Loga. We sing that song. Why? Samsara Dhavanalam. That material world is always a burning fire. Nobody can stop it unless it goes inwards. We give up that association, goes inwards. There is no saram in that. Saram means essence. Samsaram. At least some saram should be there, but there is no saram in that. That's why it's called samsaram. So samsaram, we have to think about samsaram, material world and material existence, in other words, and come to these conclusions very firmly inside. In the shastram, they call the word as ajagalasthanam. Ajagalasthanam means, you know, the little goats, when they go to the mother, and whenever it finds a nipple, it will start sucking for the milk. But sometimes these goats have got some nipples here. In an artificial way it comes out. So if the little goat goes and starts sucking from there, will the milk come? Milk won't come from there. Milk will only come from the udder. So mistakenly they think that this is one of the nipples and start sucking, the milk won't come. Similarly, if we start trying to find peace within this world, looking at everywhere else, it will not happen. Peace will only come from inside. And that is why Krishna is stressing this point, that going inwards and looking at there, at that particular point, is important. And once we get trapped by jadam, jadam means dead matter. Therefore, that alma, soul, that is the danger why Krishna is talking about. The more we go external and associate with the dead matter there, it will put a hindrance to our spiritual progress. It will cause a hindrance in spiritual progress. And therefore, if you keep on thinking and associating with the dead matter for a long period of time, our intelligence and our prajna will also become jadam. And if you keep on sitting in front of a dead matter, particularly this is important in the modern world where people work with these computers, that it is a dead thing. This computer is a dead thing. Jadam, dead matter. And some people have to work 16, 18, 20 hours with them. And it is happening now all over the world. It has become an integral part of our working life. So what happens is, when one is constantly in contact with the dead matter, the mind eventually will come to a state called kashayam. Kashayam means, you know, mind has three states, isn't it? Vikshiptam, kashayam, layam. They are the three states of the mind. Vikshiptam means that constant thoughts coming through the mind. You know, constantly continuous flow of thoughts inside. Due to the power of Rajogunam inside, sometimes what happens is we are unable to resist the continuous flow of thoughts inside. That is called Vikshipta state of the mind. And we ourselves find it very hard. We can't sleep. we find it very disturbing. So you have to get some peace inside. This happens in life, isn't it? Everybody experiences that. Vikshipta state. In the Vikshipta state, it is only due to the strong thought waves that's flowing one after the other. It may be due to various things what we have done during the day, or anxiety about something, or the influence from others, something that brings in that vichiptam inside. Then the other state is when the mind has no engagement, or mind is not able to capture anything. Suppose something is spoken, you are in contact with something, you have no interest in that. Then what happens to the mind? Mind goes into the next mode called layam. It simply goes to sleep. Just like, suppose I keep on talking about Krishna consciousness on a level like Krishna is speaking here in the Bhagavad Gita level, that lot of important things, subtle things, when you keep on discussing, up to some point you will try to capture that with the mind. And when the mind is not able to connect with that, it will go into this state of layam, or the state of where it goes and dissolves itself and goes to sleep. That's what happens. That's why in the Bhagavatam classes and all, when you see somebody is sleeping, you can see that that person has not been able to connect with what the speaker is saying, or what is being discussed. Sometimes in the Bhagavatam classes, you will notice this, that somebody will bring some question and some discussion will start, and somebody will say, I've read this in that book, and this scientist mentioned something like this, and this scientist devotee has written about some science about that. It'll go into a scientific level. And this devotee who is sitting there, who is listening to all these things, he doesn't understand anything what is being spoken about. So naturally he will think, let them finish their discussions, I'll go to sleep. That is the layam stage, or dissolving the mind like that. There is a third state which is known as the kashaya state. What is this kashayam state is? It's nothing but a state of depression inside. A depression state. And this association with jadam, dead matter, eventually brings this kashayam state in a person. This kashaya state will come to him. Because 16 hours in a day in front of a computer, and constantly busy with that, it makes us persons inside kashayam. Kashayam brings to him. Kashaya state is this depression state inside. So, therefore, those who are absorbed in that kind of activity for a long period of time, and if many people in the same house are absorbed in that way, it will cause difficulties inside. It brings a depression, and knowingly that depression develops. Why is that? Because jadam, dead matter, association with dead matter will bring these problems. Therefore, the advice given is such people who are engaged in such activities, as soon as they leave that, they should come into contact with some lives of people from life activity. Once it so happened, there was one sannyasi called Abhinava Vidyatirthapad, a very famous sannyasi. He lived years ago. He left this world. Abhinava Vidyatirthapad. He used to travel around, and somebody asked this question to him. He says to him that, I am an atheist, he says. I am an atheist. The visitor says to him, I am an atheist. But I like meditation, he says. I like meditation. So what should I do? So, in other words, from his question, he understood that I have no interest in the temples, deities, and deity worship and things like that. I have no faith in that, he said. So this Tirthapada told him that that's fine, that doesn't matter. At least do one thing, he said. Whenever you get time, you go closer to, say, something like sea, a deep sea. Some go to the seashore, sit there and look at the sea for a long period of time. Or, if that's not possible, lie down in your garden and look at the sky for a long period of time. Or if that's also not possible, look at some big mountain or hill which is close to your house. Go and sit near that and look at the mountain, he said. So, why was he saying that? The answer is that his point was that all these things are Krishna's vibhudis, isn't it? Krishna's vibhudis. So even if you have no faith in Krishna, as the absolute truth, in Krishna's position as the truth, even if you don't believe in that, at least you see they are right in front of you. Krishna is present in front of you in the form of sea, in the form of the mountain, in the form of the sky, and so many things like that. They are all material elements, are they not? They are material elements in its pure form. Water, sky, earth. These things. They are in front of you, Krishna's material elements. And if you look into Vibhuti Yogam chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there, Sarasam Asmi Sagara, among all the water, collection of water, I am the ocean. Sarasam Asmi Sagara. But nowhere in the Vibhuti Yogam, Krishna is saying there that I am the deity. Have you noticed that? I am the deity in this world. But he says in the deity, so point is that if you constantly are in contact with Jadam, dead matter, at least we, in order to escape from the impact of that dead matter and to get out of this Kashayam state, because in the Kashayam state, no spiritual life is possible. It's impossible to develop spiritually because it's a kind of state of mind where you feel completely depressed. Don't know what's happening in this life, don't know where you're going. Constantly, every morning, you're going and sitting in front of the computer and pressing the buttons, and whole day mind is absorbed in the activities of that. And in the evening when you come home, you are feeling completely lost from that. That has created this Kashaya Sthiti inside. So, in order that Kashaya Sthiti don't develop inside, we have to make sure that even if due to our prarabdham we have to do certain work in this world, does not matter. But still, at least we should know not to get driven by that. We have to learn how to escape from that situation. And that's the only thing when Abhinav Vidyadhara says to this person that Kashaya Sthiti develops in a person, he should know how to free himself from that. And the point he was making here is that you should develop connection with the living force, Chaitanyam. When Kashaya Sthiti develops inside, one should develop contact with Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means living force. And it is much more powerful when one is in contact with the sea, contact with the sky, or contact with the mountains and hills. It's much more powerful than even contact with the deity in the temple. Even when you go to the, if in a Kashaya state, if you come to the temple, state of consciousness, if you come to the temple, you won't be feeling any good feelings towards the deity. You will stand there in front of the deity because you are so much affected by the contact with the Jadam, dead matter. You are just doing it as a mechanical thing and you will go away from the temple in that way. Modern world, we have to be very careful about these things because it takes the humanity side from you away because of this thing called work. And especially when you have to work long hours with these situations, it takes away our natural spiritual tendencies in us, is checked. On the other hand, it puts this mind in such a state that even if you go to the temple, you won't find any difference. You'll go there, you pay your obeisances, take charanamatam, look at the deity for a few minutes and you will go. The way you have come, the way you'll go back in the same way. Nothing would happen at that point. The reason for that is long hours of association. It's happening, causing a lot of problems. I hear in Indian press, it's a lot of reports now about that, in particularly in Bangalore, where there is loads of these big information technology companies are situated. Many of their employees are getting sick and they got serious mental problems coming out from that. Why? Because of the stress that is created from the work plus the working environments that's causing this problem. And they don't know because they have lost that natural way of life one is supposed to live is not there anymore. It's becoming a lot more artificial in that way. That's a lot of hours they have to work, lot of working hours they have to work, and although the insecurity of the job is causing anxiety in them, And now many of them are turning towards psychological treatments and psychiatrists, and all kinds of things are happening. Unknown things before in the history. These things have never happened in Bangalore before. And today, this kind of things are very much a common thing. And it's in the newspapers, it's in the doctors related to the mental illnesses. They have much more surgeries now in Bangalore than any time before. So mental patients are, it becomes like this, Kashayasthiti develops into that. And what to speak about, if we have to understand what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, and if we have to bring all these things into our practical life, all these problems we have to encounter with, there is no question about that. So, but even in that Kashayasthiti, if one is Sthitapratnya, it won't happen. If you have to work with computers with Sthitapratnyatvam, this will not happen. So therefore you can see, even from that point of view, Krishna is saying here that the Sagaram Sarasamasmi Sagara, among the mountains I am Himalaya, Krishna says, among the trees I am Ashwatham, banyan tree, I am that. Saying like this, Krishna is saying there that the that it has been instructed to us only for this reason, that if you are in contact with Jadapadartham, Jadapadartham means this kind of dead matter, like these machineries and this kind of things, then our buddhi, our intelligence also, we become Jadam in due course. And because of that, in course of time, we have gone into the grips of this Jadam, that without any reason, without nothing happens from outside, a kind of dissatisfaction will develop inside. Ashanti. Ashanti means a state of not being peaceful will develop inside. Kashayasthiti. And that is what it is called as the Kashayasthiti. So, Vikshiptam, Kashayam, Layam. These three states. Layam means sleeping. Vikshiptam means completely distracted, disturbed inside. And Kashayam means neither of that. A kind of depression inside for no reason. So, in such a situations, one has to take the shelter of satsangam always, and not only satsangam, as and when he gets an opportunity, visiting temples, and contact with the sea, contact with mountains, contact with the forests, and things, and contacts with the temples, particularly temples which were originally built by the sages. And that atmosphere will take us away from that Kashayasthiti inside. The sages, knowing very well how to take us away from our depressed state in the mind and how to bring us favorable inside, they have built all these temples for that purpose. So once we approach such places, automatically we can escape from that Kashayasthiti inside. For many, many years, if we live in that Kashayasthiti, because it can happen. Suppose we enter into a job and for years and years we have to work like that, eventually there will be no desire inside for spiritual life or spiritual activity. Everything will go from inside, because that Kashayasthiti has become a nature in a person, and does not know how to come out of it. So, from the spiritual point of view, those things are unfavorable. And in order that this, our determination to realize the truth inside, and to withdraw from the world of senses and sense objects, and to bring the mind under peace, and to bring that shanti inside, where spiritual knowledge can develop, so we have to look for that opportunity. I'll stop there today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We'll see you tomorrow.